Well, hello everybody. I was reading a book last night, believe it or not, I do read, and it was one by David Hathaway, and it's, as usual, he's telling us of his things that he's done over the years, many years, and it made me laugh. I laughed out loud, and he said he was in one crusade, and he laid hands on a crippled woman, and she was healed. So what does she do? She runs uphill to the nearby hospital and preached in every ward. Just like that. She did not want to keep it to herself. And I imagined her running up this hill. Crippled legs 10 minutes before, and she preaches. Just like that. Amazing stuff. And there's just one more before I actually get to what I've come for. That he, another one of his converts became a pastor, and he went to preach in a horrible prison because he'd set up this prison fellowship business. And the warders laughed at him. You don't get anywhere here. And there was 1,400 prisoners sitting, waiting for him to preach. And he preached. And every single one was saved. It gets to me. And he said, I know that they've all gone on with the Lord. Most of them were actual preachers, believe it or not, full-time preachers and witnesses, and they just cleared that prison out. I couldn't believe it. Why doesn't it happen here? Why can't it happen here? Why don't we make it happen here through prayer and, well, whatever it takes? We're just a small group. God works in small groups, and there's no reason why we shouldn't bang on the doors of heaven, if you like. Rattle, rattle, rattle. Lord, we're here, we're waiting. We want something to happen. Not next week, not the week after, now. It's a very good time to start. I just thought I'd have to unload that to you. So, trust in the Lord is my sermon. Well, my talk. Don't like sermon. I had too many in my youth for my liking. And when Rob asked me to preach, and I sort of, shall I or shan't I? People are fed up with me. I said, okay. And then I said to the Lord one night, what am I going to preach on? And back came the answer immediately. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will lead your paths. Direct. Have I got it right? Direct. Yeah, that's a better word, isn't it? So I said, how am I going to preach on that? What am I going to say? So he told me. And this is what I'm going to say. What he told me to say. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6. They are very... There's only two verses, isn't there, to choose from. And I thought, how am I going to do it? How am I going to do it? Tell me. So here goes. These verses, I think, by the look on your faces, they're quite familiar to you. But I, as I looked into it and thought about it and prayed about it, there's quite a lot in it. if you think about it. And Solomon was given the wisdom to write these things down 3,000 years ago or thereabouts. And they're still as potent now as they were then. When you think about it, trust. Trust. Five-letter word. But so full of different meanings. And if you think about it, there's to be a trustee of a church, maybe. Do you have them here? Obviously not. But the church I was brought up in had a band of trustees who looked after the fabric of the church. So that's one meaning. There was a trustee savings bank until recently. But trust itself is more about what you think of people, isn't it? So, what have we got? To have full confidence in, to have faith in, to be completely reliable. And we trust that the power and the light will come on when we flick the switch, don't we? We trust lots and lots of things every day without even thinking about it. But people let us down, don't they? I let people down at times. It's just the human thing. And it's an awful feeling when you know that someone who had trust in you, you've made a booby and they can't trust you the same anymore. So that begs the question, who can we trust? And the next one is, in the Lord. So it starts to build. Trust in the Lord, and he will never ever let us down. Isn't it wonderful that we've got a person who we've never seen and will not see with these eyes, all four of them, until we get to glory. And then we shall see him face to face. We shall see the beauty of the Lord and the wonder which is the throne room of heaven. Boy, am I looking forward to see that. How wonderful that will be, to see Jesus face to face. That's until I dive on the floor in worship and praise. He never, ever lets us down. Even if we think he does, he never lets us down. He can't. It's his makeup. He cannot and he will not let us down, ever. We can trust him completely. How good our God is. Not like the other religions in this world, as Rob prayed for a few minutes ago. They haven't got anyone to trust. They've got a statue somewhere, or a few bells ding-donging, and saying a few prayers to someone unknown and never will know, and there's nothing to it. People spend years tinkling bells and praying and bowing and scraping before a statue. But we can trust our God. We can speak to him any time, any day, middle of the night if we're feeling a bit off or something. I must admit, I prayed in the night, last night. And we've all sung that hymn, Standing on the Promises of God. You remember that one? Standing on the promises which cannot fail, and all that. It's lovely, isn't it? This book, chock bang full of promises which have happened already and will happen in their entirety. The prophecies, prophecies are coming true in our lifetime. We see them. God prophesies through Jesus and the Holy Spirit, using men, well, and women, to make these prophecies, and they come true in every particular, not a little bit, but fully. And I was so pleased, really, when this came to me. I remembered something I'd read. So I turned it up on the computer, and it's the US Congress in 1956 made a motto which still stands today for the whole country. It says, "In God we trust." Now, if only our parliament would do the same. In God we trust. And God honoured that, because it was a prayer and it was meant. The whole Congress agreed on it. And I thought, oh dear, I just wish for once our government would listen. And I know there are Christians in Parliament, but we never hear from them, do we? We never hear what they think and what they say. But it would be wonderful if someone stood up and, "Can I make a proposal, Mr. Burkow?" Whatever his name is. So, trust in the Lord. How? With all of your heart. And I'm not talking about that one that pumps blood around your veins and arteries, although I'm pleased I've got one that does. It's the seat of your emotions, isn't it? What you think. What are you thinking about? Our innermost being. If we don't trust the Lord with all our heart, how do we trust him? How can we trust him if we don't know him very well? All our emotions are involved in it, aren't they? If you're trusting someone with all your heart, that's your whole being involved. And it can't be part-time either. It can't be this morning and bye-bye till next Sunday morning. Never praying, never reading God's word. It has to be full time, doesn't it? Otherwise it's a nothing, really. I remember, although it's a very long time ago now, when I was, using an old fashioned word, courting Sally in the back, and after a while I realised that I loved her and I wanted to marry her. And she smiled on me and said, "Okay," or words to that effect. But I did have to do it formally by going on one knee. If I did it now, it would take a while to get up again. But it's a lovely feeling, you know, when someone loves you for who you are and what you are, in spite of all my faults. And they've got more and more every year. But it's not really a patch on loving the Lord, because that's so different. It's so much deeper. It's so... Oh, I find it... I can't really describe it. But I think you know in your own mind what I'm trying to say. It's a wonderful feeling. The day you say, "Lord, I'm sorry for my sin. I am. I'm really sorry. Will you please forgive me? And I've got a place here for you. Will you come in?" And he does, and it explodes. Really explodes. I couldn't believe it when I came back. I mean, I had made a decision when I was 10. But, you know, teenagers, you mess about, don't you? And even it even lasted till I was 40, actually. So it was a long, long waste, really. And then we went to a church in Lincoln, because we moved from Nottingham. And the preacher there, one Sunday night, said, he was talking about streams in the desert and how dry a desert can be until you get to an oasis. And I thought, that's me, he's talking to me. My life was a desert, but it became full of springs of living water. So, that's a little testimony. You've had it now, Rob. You've had it. No more. But you love the Lord with all your heart. 24/7. Every year. It's truly, truly wonderful. I wouldn't go back if somebody gave me £1 million. Or even the whole world. And lose my soul. And the next piece keeps filling up a bit. And lean not on your own understanding. My thought of this was, if you lean too hard, what do? You fall flat, don't you? And our trouble, as Christians even, sometimes we think we know better than God, don't we? This is what I will do. And it's often what I will do is a real booby. So, who knows best for us? Guess who? No prizes. The Lord himself. So here's a few scriptures. So I turned up. I will say this though. None of us know a fraction of what God knows. And I've got some thoughts on that in a moment. Proverbs 9 verse 10 says, "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding." So that's rubbed it in a little bit, hasn't it? And then to go on, Isaiah 55 verses 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and thoughts than your thoughts." So he knows a lot more than we do. Just one more. "For the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth becomes knowledge and understanding." So if we lean on our own understanding, you're leaning on a wonky pole, aren't you? Or fence. Don't let's fall leaning on our own understanding. It's so easy. So if we need wisdom and knowledge for any situation, privately or the church, we know who to go to, don't we? Then we come on to, "In all your ways acknowledge him." Now this one got to me a bit. I couldn't think quite what that meant. Is this something we do every day? Do we include the Lord in our daily walk? Well, for myself, I start quite early. I always read the Bible and I always pray in the morning. But I start before that. When I'm getting breakfast ready, which is one of my favourite jobs, I put the toast in, and when it's done, I take it out, and that's when I use my first prayer, thanking God for that, thanking God that he's given me a reasonable sleep, and that he's kept me from sin, and he's going to look after me all day. That's my first few prayers. So I think that's sort of roughly what it's like. And everything you're going to do, do we acknowledge him? You know, when we're going out to the shops, do we say, "Are you coming, Lord?" It would seem silly, wouldn't it, to say such a thing? But why not? He lives within us. So if you're going out for a walk, or going to do something, whatever you're doing, reading, watching telly, or computing, or doing such things, include God. I think that's what it means. I think that God really wants to be a full part of our life. If we belong to him, he wants to be really part of it. Otherwise it's a bit difficult, isn't it? He thinks, well, is he going to include me in this, or, you know, have I got to go and whistle him in heaven for a while he does it? No, that's not the way, is it? And I thought then of Revelation 3:20. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. And I thought, I've never thought this before. I thought, it's a sobering thought that God has to knock on the doors of your heart if you belong to him. It shouldn't be, should it? I know that several times in the last few years, I've said, "Don't knock, Lord, come in. Just push it and it's open. Please don't knock. I want you there." So I couldn't think of anything better than for him. It's sobering, really, when you think, isn't it? God has to knock on the door of his friend's house. Well, the last part, you'll be pleased to know, and he shall direct your paths. Jesus had a word to say about the right path to take, and it's in Matthew 7, verse 13 and 14. Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go into it. Because narrow is the gate and difficult the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. Which is not very nice, is it? I thought of a walk we have done several times in the Peak District, and it starts off, you know, when you've booted up and all the rest of it, you start off and it's on along a road for about a quarter of a mile, and there's people walking by you and there's cars whizzing up and down. And after this bit of a walk, there's a tiny gate at the side of the road. Often it's overgrown, difficult to see, and it's difficult to push to get in. But once you're in, you've got this path. Now, it said it's difficult to walk on, and yes, it was. It is. It was very stony, and many obstacles to cross, like fallen trees and things like that. And I thought about it when, you know, narrow is the gate and difficult the way which leads to life. But I don't care how rough it is. I just don't care. I'll walk on it. I'll stumble on it. Which you do, don't you? In the Christian walk, you do stumble. You can't help it because we're men and women. But there's a nice walk at the bottom along the river. But you still have to walk uphill to get out of it. So it's not all easy. But I thought, when you get to the top of that hill, to get out, there's a church at the side. And I thought, well, is that heaven? But no, it wasn't. Well, I believe that this is the only real path that we can get or walk along to get into heaven permanently. And it's a tragedy that the man who wrote these didn't make it himself, because he made such a mess of his life towards the end, with women and false gods. He forgot all the wisdom that God had given him, and we must not, because it's all in here. It should be in here as well. Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I will not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters, restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And that's our God. If we belong to him, he'll lead us. He'll tell us the way. We can trust in him completely and utterly. And you can personalize it. I will trust in the Lord with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, and with all my strength, and so on. You'll be pleased to know I've come to the end. But the Lord bless you and keep you all. Amen.